the beginning of this worship service, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing Psalm 100, the verses 1, 2 and 3. Together with the Church of all times and all places, we will confess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. And this afternoon we will do so with the words of the Apostles' Creed, whereafter you will sing in response Psalm 100, verse 4. Everyone speaks with me in his heart. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thou art indeed good, rich in mercy and in faithfulness. Thy love never wavers, even though we are undeserving of it Lord, each day anew we stand in awe of all the blessings which thou so richly bestows upon us in Christ. And this throughout the generations. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for it. We thank thee that we are covenant children. We together with our children, as you could sing about it as well. Thou made us. We are thy own. Sheep fed by thee in green pastures, while thou art also there to guard us and to keep us safe in thy care. Lord, we thank thee that this afternoon's preaching we may focus again on this rich message by which thou wilt reassure us that we have never to doubt receiving all these blessings. We have never to doubt it as long as we hold tight to what thou hast promised us at our baptism, as we could hear it also this morning again, when we heard the promises sealed and signed and sealed to one of the members of the congregation. Lord, clinging to these promises, we have the assurance that by thy grace, by which thou hast brought us safe thus far, that by that same grace, thou wilt also bring us safely home. Safe with thee, always. Lord, we humbly confess that inwardly we do not always feel this as strong as we would like it. We do not always live on that high level of faith as we should. Daily we have to fight against the weakness of our faith. And that's why we pray thee, grant that this afternoon's preaching may comfort and strengthen us, encouraging us to live close to thee every day, and so to receive that inward peace as only thou can give it. Lord, open our hearts to the gospel. Help us in listening. Give Satan no opportunity to distract us. Be with us, both in speaking and listening. Bless us when we worship thee, also in our songs of praise, in our offerings of thanks. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You now receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gifts of thankfulness. The collection this afternoon is for the theological training in South Africa. And after we've given our gifts of thankfulness to the Lord, we will sing Psalm 4, verse 2 and 3. This afternoon we will conclude that short series on the fifth chapter of the Canons of Dort, focusing on the articles 12, 13, 14 and 15. We will read in connection with that, first of all, from Scripture, John 15, the verses 1 through to 11. John 15, verses 1 through to 11, where the Lord Jesus speaks the following words: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean, because of the words which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. If the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And he gathers them and throws them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So far from Scripture. Let's now turn our confession, the Canons of Dort. From the fifth chapter, we will read the last articles, 12, 13, 14, and 15. These articles still deal with the aspect of how we can be sure that God will preserve us to the very end. The certainty of perseverance, however, so far from making true believers proud and complacent, is rather the true root of humility, childlike reverence, genuine godliness, endurance in every struggle, fervent prayers, constancy in suffering, and in the confession of the truth, and lasting joy in God. Further, the consideration of this benefit is for them an incentive to the serious and constant practice of gratitude and good works, as is evident from the testimonies of Scripture and the examples of the saints. Neither does this renewed confidence produce carelessness or neglect of godliness in those who have been restored after their fall. Rather, it produces in them a much greater concern to observe carefully the ways of the Lord, which he prepared beforehand. They observe these ways in order that by walking in them they may retain the certainty of their perseverance. Then shall the face of their gracious God not turn away from them again, because of their abuse of his fatherly goodness, with the result that they would fall into still greater anguish of spirit. Indeed, to those who fear God, the contemplation of his face is sweeter than life, but its withdrawal is more bitter than death. Now, just as it has pleased God to begin this work of grace in us by the preaching of the gospel, so he maintains, continues and perfects it by the hearing and reading of his words, by meditation on it, by its exhortations, threats and promises, and by the use of the sacraments. This doctrine of the perseverance of true believers and saints, and of their assurance of it, God has most abundantly revealed in his word for the glory of his name and for the consolation of the godly. And he impresses it on the hearts of the believers. It's something which the flesh does not understand. Satan hates, the world ridicules, the ignorant and hypocrites abuse, and the heretics attacks. The bride of Christ, on the other hand, has always loved this doctrine most tenderly and defended it steadfastly as a treasure of inestimable value. And God, against whom no counsel can avail and no strength can be prevail, shall see to it that he will continue to do so. To this God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. Amen. In response to the preaching of God's words, we'll sing hymn 52, the verses 1 and 4. Hymn 52, verse 1 and 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll focus on the last articles of chapter 5. Now, the main message of this fifth chapter, as we have seen, tells us that God will not permit his elect to be lost. Article 3, where it reads, "But God is faithful, who mercifully confirms them in the grace once conferred upon them, and powerfully preserves them in that grace to the very end." It's true, as Article 4 mentions it, also upright children of God can fall into serious sins. Yet, Article 6, in that fall, God will not completely withdraw his Holy Spirit from them, but, Article 7, will preserve in them his imperishable seed of regeneration. So as God's children, we have the assurance that as long as we cling to God's promises, we will not miss out on a safe arrival in Father's house, since God, Psalm 138, will finish perfectly what he for us has undertaken. Now, according to the Arminians, as it reads in error 6, according to the Arminians, they say, by its very nature, this doctrine of the certainty of perseverance and salvation causes false security. It's harmful to godliness, good morals, prayers, and other holy exercises. According to them, it's even praiseworthy to doubt. For doubt will even help us to persevere to the end. It will make us more active in focusing on that perseverance. That seems okay, isn't it? Would doubt not make us to try harder to stay focused? But brothers and sisters, that means in actual terms that we start looking at ourselves again. And when you look at yourself, you start to doubt even more. For it will always cause you to wonder whether you have done enough. And that shows how cruel this whole teaching of the Arminians is. It will never give you complete assurance. And therefore, thankfully, the true gospel of Jesus Christ is much more comforting. Since in Christ our salvation is sure, 100%, without any doubt. When considering how great a gospel this is, especially when considering that we share in all these riches undeserved, it's simply unimaginable, if you think about it, about God's amazing grace, and we indeed stand in awe, it's simply unimaginable that it will ever cause a sincere believer to become so complacent that said, "Well, doesn't matter, I will be okay." No, it will only cause us to live more closely to God, that out of thankfulness for that incredible salvation by grace alone, we will say, "This God I want to serve. in sincere love with my whole life. And that's what we also read in the final chapters of, in final articles of chapter 5. I've summarized the message for this afternoon as follows. Being assured by God of a final homecoming makes true believers eager to live more closely to the Lord. And that in true humility and genuine godliness, carefully observing the ways of the Lord, making full use of the means in running the race, and all this to bring glory to God. So being assured by God of a final homecoming makes true believers eager to live more closely to the Lord. And that's first of all in true humility and genuine godliness. The matter addressed in Article 12 is basically the same, brothers and sisters, as the matter dealt with in Lord's Day 24 of the Harberg Kerkgissen. I realize the context of Lord's Day 24 is differently. In Lord's Day 24, the heresy of the Church of Rome is refuted. Rome says, if you do good works, Rome says, if good works have no value for our salvation in Christ, so if your good works have no value, that makes a person careless. But in a similar way, Article 12 says that the promises that God will bring us safely home, that he can be assured of it, causes complacency, carelessness. Now, as the 64 of the Harberg Kerkgissen says, it's impossible that those grafted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Impossible when in genuine faith we cling to Christ and think of what he did for us to redeem us from the clutches of Satan. Whoever lives cross-focused, for him it is unimaginable that he would not serve Christ. I'd like to make this clear with an example I read when preparing this sermon. The example goes as follows. In a small village in India, two boys had been caught in a gambling game and received severe punishment, imprisonment. Now, the mother of one of the boys did everything to get her son free. She toiled long days carrying stones which caused her hands to bleed. She didn't mind it as long as she could earn sufficient money to bail her son out. And she succeeded. Now, when the boy was just home a few days, some of his old friends came along again and asked him, why not join us again in our gambling game? Now, the boy responded, how could I ever be so unthankful towards my mother? You go ahead, but when thinking of those hands of my mother, full of blood, I will never be able to do it again. I think the story tells it all, even though it is a weak example. In addition, considering how weak we are from ourselves, prone to sin, who would ever walk away from that secure hand of God which we need every day to bring us safely home? Then considering all this, an upright child of God will make sure that nothing will risk his relationship with his Heavenly Father. Now the Arminians say, if up front you know, Father will hold on to me, you have no reason to worry that something can put this relationship at risk. And again, that leaves every room for complacency. But beloved, that makes a caricature of what Scripture teaches. A child of God, living a life in which there is no evidence of taking God's commandments seriously, such a person might think that by just going to church and ticking a few boxes, that he will be okay, that he will keep the elders off his back. But let me quote something of which we have also focused on during the past 4 weeks. from the prophecies of Amos, the wealthy ladies who lived their life at the expense of the poor and needy peasants. And then Amos says, on behalf of the Lord, woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria. Amos sent us a prophet by the Lord to expose that false security of God's people in the northern kingdom. Brothers and sisters, a living faith that clings to God's sure promises never leaves any form for any form of complacency. Instead, in humble gratitude, it clings to Christ, who said during his earthly ministry, and I quote now John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. And then, to know what it means to abide in Christ our Savior at these words, if you keep my commandments, you abide in me and in my love. Keeping God's commandments, not because we have to, but we want to, out of thankfulness for our salvation in Christ. And that brings us to the heart of the message of Article 12. The certainty of perseverance, it says there. However, so far from making true believers proud and complacent, it's rather the root of, and then a number of things are mentioned, let us go to them. The root of humility. Who are we? Totally unworthy of God's love. And yet his mercies are new every morning. Lord, how great is thy faithfulness. Who am I that I may share in all these riches? I think here of those words written in Proverbs 3 verse 34. God gives grace to the humble. Next it mentions childlike reverence. Reverence that is standing in awe of the greatness of God, who for Christ's sake cares for us as a father. Knowing how great and wonderful this care is, surely one will never let go of father's hand, but make sure that it feel that that hand is holding tight to us. Then in childlike trust and reverence, we'll think great of God and small of ourselves. Then you feel so small that God will hold on to us wretched sinners. The next fruit mentioned is genuine godliness. That's living close to God. It's walking with God in every step we set, but also the thoughts of our minds, the words we speak, the decisions we make. Walking with God, like Enoch did, in a society full of evil, no different than our society today. People boasting, lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Brothers and sisters, those who live in genuine godliness will never start flirting with that sinful world, but then in steadfast love, we live close to him. Enduring in every struggle, life remains a battle to the very end. Yet in that battle where Satan continuously tries to lure us away from God, we keep clinging to God, fighting that battle in the strength he will provide us with each day again. No matter how hard it might be at times, we will not give up, but endure. And that with fervent prayers. Lord, I need thy help every day again. I'm weak. The last Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism in connection with the sixth petition, I cannot stand even for one moment. And therefore, Lord, wilt thou uphold me, so that I do not go down in this spiritual warfare. Beloved, that's a necessary prayer each day again. Necessary to persevere in that struggle. Do you pray that every day? Do you pray at the beginning of the day, Lord, help me that Satan is not luring me away from me. Lord, I'm weak. I need strength in that battle by which Satan our three sworn enemies, Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh, which is the most severe enemy, keep attacking us. Lord, I can't do it. Paul speaks about the armor of faith. And then he concludes in Ephesians 6 that as follows, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. A living faith, brothers and sisters, finds its strength in persistent prayer. Next, Article 12 mentions constancy in suffering and the confession of the truth. That means also when we will be ridiculed for the name of Christ and people mock us, where is that God in whom you put your trust? Show us! What does he do for you? Keep clinging to God. Psalm 42. As we did sing it also last week. Hope yet in God, your faith retrieving, he will still your refuge be, even though the circumstances you are in might be hard to cope with. And throughout all this, throughout the difficulties we may have to face, this attitude in life will give, as it says, lasting joy in God. As Psalm 4 did speak about it, as we did sing it. Lasting joy in God. That's the joy of finding strength in God always, knowing that God's grace will always be sufficient to carry us. See, dear beloved, why the certainty of perseverance will never cause an upright shield of God to become proud, to become complacent. Instead, it will give us an even greater incentive to live a life of thankfulness with love and delight according to the will of God in all good works. Then knowing that our perseverance is entirely dependent on God, preserving us in the faith to the very end, we want to be filled more and more with the Spirit of Christ. And why is it that we want to be filled with the Spirit of Christ? A very simple answer. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we will be able to stand in the evil day. And then Paul says, and having done all, to stand. And that brings us to the second point of the sermon, which we'll deal with Article 13. From the first set of the articles of chapter 5, we learn that God will preserve his own, even when through weakness they may fall into grave sins. He will not withdraw his Holy Spirit from them altogether, preserving in them the seed of regeneration. He certainly and effectually will renew them to repentance, bringing them back to his camp through his word and spirit. What a great gospel that is. But the question addressed in Article 13 is a question where we consider the people that have walked away from God and come back. So you have done a life where you have messed it everything up. And then, as we spoke about in one of the previous sermons, all of a sudden God grabbed you. You start reading the Bible and you came back in God's camp. Now, the question addressed in Article 13 is, would that person ever react in a way that he said, oh, it's easy. See, I could live my life. Because of that seed of regeneration, God will hold me anyway, so I can do it again. Because God will keep me safe. The safety net is there, so a bit of carelessness doesn't matter. That's how the Arminians try to mock the doctrine of preservation. Yet our father said, rather the opposite will be the case. Namely, a greater concern to observe the ways of the Lord. Persons like these have realized how much they have grieved their father in heaven with their sin. They have experienced what it means to lose the sense of God's favor. He focused on that when we read in the earlier chapter with Article 5 on Psalm 32. Now let's turn back to Psalm 32. Where David talks about his struggles when he didn't live close to the Lord. He says there, Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4, "Then I kept silence, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Having experienced a period like this in your life, beloved, who wants to go through that again? Saying it doesn't matter in the end, God will forgive me anyway. No, David says in verse 6, "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near to you." That means having experienced this, our prayer will be more strongly, "Lord, help me that it doesn't happen again. Preserve me from trouble." The second part of Article 30 speaks about God's faith. The last sentence of this article: "To those who fear God, the contemplation of his faith is sweeter than life." Now let's turn back in the book of Psalms and turn to the psalm we also did sing. Psalm 4. Psalm 4, where it reads in verse 6a, "There are many who say, who will show us any good?" It's the complaint of those who do not believe in God. And therefore they look for welfare elsewhere. But David doesn't want to fall in that trap. He says in verse 6b, "Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon me." So David doesn't want to fall in that trap, but he seeks God's faith. And that's an expression, brothers and sisters, which is a reference to the priestly blessing recorded in Numbers 6, which we also receive at the end of this service. But let us read it from Numbers. Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. We read the priestly blessing recorded there, 6. Verse 24 to 26, where it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Beloved, the Lord makes his face to shine upon us, and then we will find peace. No matter what the outward circumstances are, we receive gladness in our hearts, and that gladness, says David, means so much more than the abundance of the wicked. We turn back to Psalm 4, verse 8. He says there, and we did also sing that Psalm 4, verse 8, where it says, "I will both lie down," verse 6, "there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon me." And then he says, "You have put gladness in my heart more than the season that dear grain and wine increased. And so I can lie down in peace and sleep." That's how you may go to sleep tonight. The Lord will give you peace, because you trust in God, and God's countenance will shine upon you. Therefore, beloved, those who have gone through a period of sin in their life and have experienced what it means to lose the sense of God's favor, and now God's grace has been returned, they will make sure that God will never hide their face again from them. In Article 13 it says, that's more bitter to them than death. And that's why in many psalms, the author prays, "Lord, do not hide thy face from me." All this, beloved, makes clear, having experienced how God preserves us through a painful period in our lives, will never lead to any careless attitude. Instead, we will ensure that this will not happen again. Having experienced that loss of favor of God, will cling to God with greater concern to walk in the ways of the Lord. And to do that with perseverance, which God will give when we cling to Him. We come to Article 14, which starts as follows. Just as it has pleased God to begin His work of grace in us by the preaching of the gospel, so He maintains, continues and perfects it by the hearing and reading of His word. Now, if you turn to chapter 1, Article 3, then that tells us how God started this work. It says there, page 572, chapter 1. So that many may be brought to faith, God mercifully sends heralds of this most joyful message to whom He will and when He will. By their ministry, men are called to repentance and to faith in Christ crucified. And then the text of Romans 10 is quoted, for how will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? God opens the heart. That's how it begins. Think of Lydia, was listening to Paul. And then the Lord opened her heart so that she gave heed to what Paul had said. And that's how the Lord opens our hearts this afternoon. Otherwise, you wouldn't listen. So that's how God, first on the mission fields, calls people into his flock. But then these sheep need to be fed continually. And therefore it says in Article 14, in the same way that God works faith, He also maintains, continues and perfects it. And that's why it is so important that the word also is preached purely. That's why it is so important to be in church on Sunday, wherever possible, twice. Whoever has seen how important it is that our faith is strengthened each Sunday again will not say, well, once a Sunday will do. But that instead, wherever possible, we will come twice, since we need this strengthening to hold fast the confessions of our faith without wavering. Now, that's a quotation of Hebrews 10. So let's turn to Hebrews 10. It's good to page through Scripture to see how our confessions are rooted in Scripture. So Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 24. It reads there, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So that's how God maintains, continues and perfects our faith. The Article 14 also mentions the sacraments, its function as a sign and seal to confirm God's promises to us even more strongly. It's a beautiful gift to be strengthened in faith. See, this morning you could witness baptism. And that was not only for the Pleiter family, but it was for all of us. God was reminding you, see, that's how you were baptized. That's how I promised to be there for you. Hold on to these promises. It was good to hear them again. How God as a Father will care for us. That you are washed in Christ's blood. And that the Spirit is there to guide you. And that's how we are strengthened also when we celebrate Holy Supper. As surely as I eat the bread. That's the sign. The bread, that's how Christ's life was broken. His blood shed, the cup of wine. It's the only sign. It's also a seal. It says, as surely as you eat that bread, taste it in your mouth, so sure Christ has died for you. Is that a wonderful way to celebrate Holy Supper. So the words, the sacraments, but Article 14 mentions not only the preaching of God's word on Sunday, but also the daily reading of God's word throughout the week, the meditation on it. The letter means, the meditation, it's not just quickly reading a passage, almost out of routine. But make time for it. Having read it, try to apply it by asking some questions. You read something and you say, what does the Lord want to teach me in this passage? Perhaps there is a promise to which you can cling and take that away with you throughout the day. Although, Article 14 not only speaks about promises, but also about threats and exhortations. We need to hear God's promises, but we should equally listen to the warnings we read in Scripture. In other words, we should not read just some nice and comforting passages, leave the Old Testament out, only the book of Psalms and some prophets and the New Testament. That's nice, but the rest? No, God wants to teach us through all of Scripture. There's not only nice and comforting messages, also passages that can cut deeply in our sinful flesh, exposing a sinful lifestyle, calling us to repentance. God causes the saints to persevere in faith and faithfulness through all of Scripture. Beloved, when we live this way, close to the Lord, daily making time to open Scripture, God will bless it, and through it causes to persevere to the very end. And maybe in the process also causes to be a blessing to others. I think here of what Psalm 1 says. He who takes delight in the law of God, which is a reference to all of Scripture, meditating on it day and night, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, bringing forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. How pleasant it is to sit under such a tree. How pleasant it is to be in the presence of a person fed by Scripture who also radiates God's love to others. See, there are many Psalms, brothers and sisters, that focus also on that aspect of meditating. I think of another Psalm which we have also did also sing in the course of these 4 weeks. I think of Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. You can't sleep. Open your Bible and meditate on it. Surely that will help. So the author of Psalm 63 rejoices in the fellowship with God, in the intimate communion with God when reading his word and praising God with his lips. Another psalm, Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119, the verses 79 through 99. Psalm 119, verse 79 through to 99. We have read the following. 79. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. We'll have to take time to meditate on the word of God, on the mighty deeds. That's how you read the Old Testament. If you read, for example, the story of the destruction of Jericho, you say, this is my God. He can walls shatter. That's my God. And this God is with me. This God who made a path through the Jordan, he will clear my path. Even when I don't see it. Like at the Red Sea. The Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea before them. And then they say, walk. Now what would you do? Would you dare to step in the Red Sea? The Lord didn't make first a path like the Jordan. The Lord didn't make first a path. See, here's the path, and now walk. No. He said with the Jordan, come, priest, step into the Jordan. Well, that was faith. So the Lord doesn't always clear the path first. He said, trust me, and I will do it. They walked 7 times around Jericho. Maybe many of the Israelites said, what a stupid action this is. 7 times, nothing happens. 7 times, the Lord had said. Go on. Like Naaman. He thought, do you think I'm going to wash myself in that dirty water? But he was cleaned. That's trust in God. And the Old Testament is full of that. Now that's your God. That's my God. And he says this afternoon, I will be at your side to the very end. I will bring you safely home. But hold my hand. See, brothers, is that how we should meditate on God's word? The Lord keeps us in his grace through his words of comfort and exhortation, through admonishments. In love, he guides us on the road of salvation. And therefore, let us make time daily and never minimize on that. Despite our busy schedules, the strange thing is, brothers, is we have everything, we have always time for anything. You don't want to miss out on your gym if you are a health fanatic or whatever there might be, or on your soccer or whatever there is. You don't want to miss out on that because you love it. But do you remember when we talked about the first article of the Calendar of the Lord, the holy exercises of godliness? Spiritual health is much more important than physical health. I don't say that it's wrong to pay attention to your physical health, but spiritual health comes first. How much time do we daily spend on our spiritual health? Just a short bit of reading at the table, a quick verse at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, and that's it? Or do we take that actual Bible in our hands? This is the word of God. Written in blood. The promises of God. Written in blood. And you take it in. That's the word of my Savior. He will guide me to the very end. If you stay committed in that way to God, firstly, as family, as congregation, also being a hand and a foot to each other, encouraging one another. Even more so, as you read in Hebrews, as the day of Christ is coming. The day of Christ. The return on the clouds of heaven. And who knows how close that might be. Are you ready when Christ will come back tonight? Or do you have still to clean something up in your closet? Don't postpone it to tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. If the preaching comes to us with the command to repent and believe, don't say, I will attend to it tomorrow. Be ready when Christ comes back tonight. That could be. Do we live in that awareness? Even more so, as it says in Hebrews, as you see the day approaching. I come to the fourth and final point of this afternoon's sermon, which will deal with Article 15. The concluding article of the fifth chapter. But also the last article of the whole of the Canons of Dort. This final article can be described as a song of praise to bring glory to the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. In this article we read that the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints and the assurance of it has always been under attack. And this, even though God had most abundantly revealed it in his word, for his own glory, for his own comfort. Beloved, let us hold on to this great and wonderful doctrine. Especially today, as the word of God comes under attack more and more fiercely. And that not only from the side of the world, but also from within the church. By all kinds of modern interpretations of scripture. And that's why you can be so thankful for a confession like the Canons of Dort. Especially given the rapid increase increase of Arminianism in many churches today, as we have focused on it throughout these 4 weeks. Arminianism, which not only robs God of his honor, but also robs the church from the comfort that our salvation is secure in Christ alone. Article 15 gives a long list of attacks on this doctrine, as our fathers knew about it in the dear days. And these attacks, brothers and sisters, have only become more severe throughout history, as Scripture has also warned that it will happen when the time of the coming of Christ to the clouds of heaven draws near. The devil, by Jesus called a liar, the father of it, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, having great wrath, because Satan knows my time is running out. And so it is the devil behind the ridicule of this doctrine, behind the flood of heresies that have been attacking this doctrine. The devil is behind the increase of Arminianism in today's ecclesiastical climate. Let's keep our eyes open for this. And as the bride of Christ, keep treasuring what we have received in this doctrine. The bride of Christ, that's the church for which Christ shed his precious blood. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Now concerning this church, we confess in Article 54 of the Heidelberg Catechism that Christ not only gathers her, but also defends and preserves her by his spirit and word to everlasting life. And so, as the bride of Christ, we may know ourselves safe in the arms of the heavenly bridegroom. That's God's preservation in and through Christ. Now concerning the canons of Daughters Hall, let me finish with this question. And people sometimes think that election, is that a difficult subject? People find election, well, that's too difficult to touch. It's not. When you open your Bible, the Apostle Paul even sings a song of praise to the glory of God's grace. And that same praise we also find at the end of Article 15. Beloved, whenever you struggle with the subject of election, wondering at times, has God elected me? Open your Bible and read the many promises God has given you. Promises to which you may cling. These are written down not for you to doubt, but to find comfort, security. Whenever the devil is attacking you, go to God's words. And it says here, black on white, written in blood, this is my Savior, and he will bring me safely home. God says to you and to me this afternoon, hold my hand, and I will bring you safely home. Holding Father's hand, walking with Father, trusting him, the God of my redemption, who gave his Son to shed his blood for us. Nothing of us, but all honor goes to God alone. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let's give thanks. Dear Father in heaven, amid the turmoil in this world, amid the turmoil at times as in our own personal lives, we indeed long to come home with thee, to receive that peace forevermore, when finally the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Lord, we thank thee that we may know ourselves on our way to that glorious future. We thank thee for reassuring us that we never have to doubt a safe homecoming with thee, even though we don't deserve it. We can only cling to Christ, the heavenly bride, who by his blood bought us, dying for us, to give us his life, to give us life. Lord, and we stand in awe. And now we pray thee, grant that we may take that awe with us throughout this coming week, when we return to our regular daily routine. Lord, grant that also then people may see that we have something else to live for than the idols of this world. Help us to radiate the riches of the gospel, and when opportunity arises, we may also speak about it, sharing the riches of the gospel. Yes, Father, make us living witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ, never feeling ashamed to speak of the hope by which we may live. Lord, be with us as a congregation. Help us support one another, realizing also that the best way in which we can support each other is praying for one another. Lord, so often we underestimate the power of prayer, also for ourselves, in the daily battle against sin. And yet it is the most powerful weapon thou hast given us. Powerful. May we indeed pour out our heart before thee, knowing that thou wilt listen, even when we struggle to put it all into words. Lord, how blessed we are to have thee as Father. Surround us so with thy love throughout this coming week. Be near in all the trials we often face. Grant that amid the trials, the joy of faith may prevail. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us conclude with the singing the round version of Lord's Day One, that in life and death we are the Lord's. Hymn 64, verse 1 and 2.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.